Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Yo, welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for hanging out. Appreciate it. Got a lot of good pods that are available for you, good episodes. Please go back through the catalog. And if you would be so inclined, subscribe to this podcast. Like if this is your first time listening, subscribe to it. Give us a review. Write a 5-star review for us. That would be great. And if you're not feeling it, I get you. Move on. There are other great podcasts out there. Mine's pretty cool, though, I think. We've been around for a while now. I started House of L as a class project when I was in grad school. And here we are. 6 years, 5 years later? 6 years, 5 years. No, 6 years later. Here we are. I think the first episode, if you go back through the catalog all the way to the beginning, was what, May 31st, 2018 with Jason Benetti. We've made great strides sonically since then. And eventually I'm going to add the video component. The office where I do the radio show occasionally and do the podcast all the time, I need to set it up a little bit better. It's one of my goals for the summer because House of L actually does have a YouTube page. I should probably start putting stuff on it. There's stuff there. Like there's some of the stuff that I've done for the White Sox up there. But the space lends itself to being able to do a little bit more video. I just got to figure it out because I got this big background here that I use for the score, the 7-foot background that barely fits in this room for the score. I don't really have a background for House of L. And then I'm like, well, I should just use all of the, like my bookcase is the background, but it's upstairs. It's not here. So it might be a little bare bones for a while, but we'll add the video component before the summer is done to this pod. I wanted today to take a breath and talk about baseball in Chicago because baseball in Chicago right now is really bad. I was hoping that it would be a little bit better on one side than it is so far. We kind of knew what was going to happen to the White Sox. I'm going to get to them. Let me start with the Cubs. As I'm recording this, because the two teams are going to play Tuesday night, starting Tuesday night. But as I'm recording this, the White Sox have lost 11 straight. I mean, they're so bad. I was trying to explain it to my dad how bad they were mathematically, but I'll get to them. And the Cubs have lost 6 straight series. Things are so bad for the Cubs that they've allowed the Cardinals to be relevant again, and I don't like that one bit. They're right there. The Cubs are 7.5 games out of first place. And there was a lot of everything's going to be fine chatter about the Cubs going on 2 weeks ago that quite honestly made me uncomfortable. And I said so, like on the air. I felt like Jed was talking about this Cubs team like this Cubs team was coming off playing in the World Series last year. That is not the case. They were a team that ran out of gas last year because they needed a Herculean effort to get back into the race after falling far behind. Does that sound familiar to what you're seeing with this Cubs team through 60 games? Because at 29 and 31, this is about where they were last year. And I see people using that as a rallying cry or as a coping mechanism and saying, well, remember, they were really bad in May last year. Yeah. And it might have cost them being a playoff team last year. Because they had to scramble. When they had that trip against St. Louis, right, in London, when they came back from London, that's when it started. And they were hellacious. I think at one point they were like 32 and 18, like something nuts. And then September came. And then they were losing games in Colorado in September and getting pantsed by Arizona. And I'm watching that series against the Brewers. And this year's Brewers team reminds me a lot of last year's Diamondbacks team. They're plucky. They're aggressive. They have enough big talent that they can make plays. Adames is a troublemaker. It's travieso. And Yelich looks like he's found himself, which is problematic. But they take the extra base. They put pressure on you. They do a good job of scouting. Pat Murphy's done a great job. And when you watch the two teams play in their series, one of those teams looked really hungry and the other one looked lost. The Cubs are lost right now. Last year's team, if you remember, and if you want, you can go look up the statistics. Look at Yan Gomes and look at his splits offensively. You'll see a guy that had a crazy April and a crazy July and seemed to always come up with the big hit when the Cubs needed it. He has not had a crazy April or a crazy May. In fact, he's now playing more like you expected him to play, where you know that he's great for the pitching staff. He's really good defensively. He's the type of guy that you want behind the plate with young pitchers, but that's all he's giving you. So they started playing Miguel Amaya more, and not Maya more. That would be a major story if Maya Moore was on the Cubs. She could probably do it, though, because she's basically Superwoman. But Miguel Amaya got opportunities. There have been some moments with him, but it's not been consistent. The catching position for the Cubs has been really bad. I think it's still hitting below 200 as we're recording this. I look at the Cubs and I see a lineup of six hitters, the number six hitters. And you can compete, but I don't know if you'll ever be great. I'm glad that they brought Bellinger back. I wanted Bellinger back on the team. I love Christopher Morel and what he might turn into. We know he's got the live bat, pop in the bat, and Seiya. Man, that Grand Slam Saturday night was wild after having that terrible play in right field. Also, sidebar for a second. Am I the only one who thought it was a little irresponsible for the Cubs to play Saturday night? Like, I get it. It's a Saturday night Fox game nationally. But it is a team in your division, so at some point you could probably make it up. And I just felt like someone's going to get hurt out here. And you saw slip and slide mess going on all night. It was not enjoyable. And I felt bad for the players, but I digress. This team is so flawed that if they're able to turn this around and be really competitive, it'll be quite the victory. I really like Craig Counsell, like, a lot. I like his approach. I like his demeanor. I like that he is not married to any of this. He's not married to nostalgia. He's not married to guys that have done right by the Cubs, like, none of that stuff. He's trying to win. So when I saw, like, one of the biggest mysteries of the Cubs over the last couple of years is, where the hell is David Bodie? So Bodie was back with the Cubs on Sunday. He got called up. They sent Nick Madrigal down. I've said it before and I'll say it again about Madrigal. He looks like a player that is really good getting on base. He's not. He looks like a guy that is really good defensively. He's not. He looks like a player that's got speed. He doesn't. Because when you look at him and his profile and you look at his statistics, you have to explain how he's on a major league roster. And the explanation has to be, oh, well, this guy gets on base. No, his on base percentage is like 280. He does make contact, but he doesn't make loud contact. He doesn't give you slug. His contact will often put you in a position where if you're trying to move a runner, he's going to hit into a double play. So he's back in Iowa, and I don't know when we're going to see him again. I would not have been surprised, barring injury, like maybe he comes back if someone gets injured. I would not have been surprised to see the Cubs DFA him. But he had options, so you might as well send him to the minors. That guy can't matter as much as he's mattered in the last two seasons. That's not good. The other part is you've got a bunch of guys who probably max out at 4.5 wins above replacement, which is great. Like, that's great. I don't want to act like that's bullshit because it's not. But when you look at Dansby Swanson and most of his war is going to be defensively, and Nico Hoerner, and I know that Bellinger has had a 7-war season, but I'm saying who he is at this point is probably closer to maybe 5. Maybe Morel, because of his power, ends up being more than that. And I think he's done a better job at third. I think he's getting better. And that's exciting. And he has taken more walks. So if you are looking for like an offensive silver lining for the Cubs, it's that. It's that. And that Ian Happ has started to hit the ball with authority. Like, you're starting to get slug from him and Saya. So that's good. But I do wonder if it's going to be enough. The Cubs are digging a hole for themselves. And even if the hitting comes around, I said this to Dan, and it made me feel like Dan last week because I was pouring cold water on something. The thing that scares me about the Cubs is if you get some of the stuff fixed, that doesn't mean that the stuff that's been okay is going to continue to be okay. And then what happened this weekend? Your starting pitching wasn't as good as you hoped it would be. This week, Shota was bad. Ben Brown was bad. Tyone was pretty good. But you've already got problems because you've sent Kyle Hendricks down to the bullpen. He did a nice job Sunday in relief. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if the stuff that's been a struggle, like them scoring runs, if that keeps happening, and then you turn it around, there's still the issue of, well, what happens when the league gets the book on Shota? Can he reverse ankle lock it and fix them? Your bullpen has been a nightmare all season long, and it looks like Friday's game was a real good example of that, where you're competitive, you need a stop, and you give it up. And then defensively, they haven't been as strong. They're a team that's supposed to be built on defense and pitching. They're supposed to be elite at that. That's why you spent $177 million on Dansby Swanson, who you may have ended up making a bad deal because he's played so much. He's such a good teammate. He's such a strong dude that he's played so much that you might be getting a worse version of him going forward. And that's something that Craig Counsell is going to have to manage too. This stretch of games for the Cubs was supposed to be the beginning of them figuring stuff out. You're playing the last place Reds. You're playing the worst team in baseball, the White Sox. And maybe the two-game White Sox, and then you're playing the Reds again. But the Reds didn't look very scared. They didn't look like a last place team. And they're not good. So we'll see how this goes. But so far, it has not been what I think anyone expected. To look up right now after 60 games and see the Cubs at 7.5 out is troubling, to say the least. Speaking of the Reds, I was trying to explain to my father this morning how bad the White Sox are. And I use the Reds as an example of how bad they are. I'll explain to you what I meant next.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week. Now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
So I'm out at the parents' house, and my dad wants to go to a White Sox game this summer. I don't know why, but he wants to go. Like, he legitimately wants to go. So he said to me, he goes, why are they so bad? And I was trying to explain to him the last 4 years of White Sox baseball and how those last 4 years have put them on a road that has made them really bad. And I don't see how they're going to be able to get out of all of this anytime soon. I'm not here to talk like big picture White Sox with you because I know that you've had enough of talking big picture White Sox stuff. But I was explaining, I said, you know, because I told my parents like this morning, like usually when I go over there, I say, hey, Sundays are usually the day when I go and hang out with my parents. I say, I got to get back home because both the games are at 1 o'clock today. So I'm going to watch both of those. And I said to my dad, like the Cubs are playing the Reds. He's like, okay. I said, the Reds are the last place team in the National League Central. They're not a good team. Coming into today's game, they were 25-33. They're 10 games out of first place. So 8 games under 500 and 10 games out of first place. And then they won and beat the Cubs on Sunday. I said, if the Reds were in the White Sox division, the White Sox would be trailing them by 12 and a half games. They'd be trailing a last place team by 12 and a half games. So I could see my father just like his brain like explode. I said, all right, I'll give you another example. It's June 2nd. The White Sox are 24 and a half games out of first place. It's June 2nd. It's June 2nd, and the White Sox have lost 45 games. They're on a pace where I thought they'd be bad, but every team in Major League Baseball, unless you're the Oakland A's over the last couple years, wins 60. I remember Joe Sheehan had said that he thought that the White Sox were going to win 53 games this season. And I was like, wow, like that's, I mean, they're really bad, but I don't know if they'll lose that many games. Now I am concerned because at some point this team is going to be gutted. There are parts that people will want. People, even despite what happened this weekend, people will want Michael Kopech. If he's healthy, people will trade you a nominal prospect for Eloy for a half a season. Tommy Pham is going to be out of your clubhouse, and maybe he should be out of your clubhouse. That stuff, he's not really the type of guy that you want in a young locker room, I don't think. He's barely the type of guy that you can tolerate in a winning locker room because, you know, he's sandpapery. And now he's out there talking about he's going to whoop everybody's ass and he's running out the baseline and then getting mad. Like, whatever. But he's been productive and he's a player that isn't making a lot of money that can play a couple different positions and provide you some sandpaper. So if your clubhouse needs some sandpaper, he's got you covered. I think Eric Fetty is going to be a player that the White Sox should have serious conversations about trading. My point is that people are going to come for the good players on the White Sox because the only way that the White Sox are going to be able to rebuild themselves is by making trades. They're not good at drafting. At least they haven't been. I shouldn't say that yet because Chris Getz technically hasn't had the opportunity, but I don't feel very strongly about his ability to do it. So one of the ways that they're going to have to do it is they're going to have to take a whole bunch of lottery picks on players that have no future here for them. Ozzy had said last week that if you were thinking about trading Robert, you can't really because, you know, no one believes that he's going to be healthy enough to play. They're disgustingly bad. And I have said to people that you should try the Holmes maneuver. if you're a betting person, here it is. I'll lay it out for you very simply. We've been doing this since last year, and people who've done it have made more money than they've lost. Inside of a game, if the White Sox get up, bet live the other team to win. Bet them on the money line. You'll get better odds because the White Sox are going to come into every single game as the underdog. So let them get up 3-0 because Gavin Sheets ran into one or whatever. And then bet the other team. It's not going to work every time. But if you've been doing that from the beginning of the year, you'd have made yourself a nice piece of change. I'm just saying. Just try it. I don't want to belabor the point because there's going to be so much time for us to talk about the White Sox overall. But think about, like, if they do make these trades, how bad they're going to be. After, if they're 15-44 now, think about how bad they're going to be when they trade Tommy Pham and Michael Kopech and Fetty and maybe Eloy and whoever else has leisure, like whoever else has value on that team. Think about how bad they're going to be then. It's sad. I had higher hopes overall, mainly because I thought the Cubs would be better. And they still have time. Like, there's still 100 games left. So there's time to get better. I just don't like the way that it's trending. I didn't like how they were built. I thought that they kind of left some meat on the bone. Everyone clapped and cheered. And, oh, look at the Cubs. Look at the Cubs taking advantage of the Scott Boras clients. Man, didn't they get over on them? Well, if you were so keen on saving money, you could have bundled up a couple of Boras clients. You could have had Bellinger and Chapman. And Chapman is, right now is much better than anything that you've done at third base. If we're judging by WRC+, he's much better. Same thing with Candelario. He's been better than Morel plus Madrigal. They better get it together quick because I don't think this is a fluke in Milwaukee. I think this is a team that's playing with a chip on their shoulder. And remember, before you run and tell me about all the injuries that the Cubs have had, I will remind you that the Brewers also have a big amount of injuries, and there they are, 7.5 games ahead of them. So this could be a summer where we're only talking about the sky and what the Bears are getting ready to do. I mean, there's the NBA draft, I guess, you know, we get excited about that. But no, we could talk about the sky going out here and just knocking people down and not wanting to talk about it and all sorts of stuff. That might be our summer plan, y'all. I appreciate you listening. If you like the podcast, give it 5 stars, write a review, say how much you love House of L. It's appreciated. But even just listening helps out. So if you know a Cub or a White Sox fan who would like this episode, text it to them. Be like, hey, did you hear what Lawrence said about the Cubs and the White Sox? You might dig this. Send it to them. We want new people to listen to the pod. We appreciate all of the hard work that goes into what happens on this podcast and everyone who listens to it. I will talk to you next time. Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.